Welcome to The Bounce Back, streaming on the WDKX Podcast Network. Listen conveniently on your WDKX mobile app and online at WDKX.com. Now here's your Bounce Back host, Adam McFadden.
I want to welcome you to the 8th episode of The Bounce Back, a podcast that I started because I wanted to give people who are out there listening stories of folks who basically bounce back from different situations and circumstances or decisions. So with that being said, I'd like you to introduce yourself to the audience.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm Greg Salmon. I'm a local attorney here in Rochester, New York. And I think the bounce back is very appropriate for a part of my journey.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you said you're a local attorney. I know you have your hands in many things.
Yeah,
because I follow you on Facebook. I've known you for some time. I remember when you came to see me before you went to law school.
Right.
And then you came to see me after you returned from law school.
Yeah, I think I came to see you to be a clerk or something like that.
I can't even remember, but I remember you saying, "Hey, man, I'm about to go to law school. Put me in the game."
Yeah.
So, I know that you have your hand in real estate, business
right.
development, corporation formation.
Right.
And you're a little bit of a lightning rod on social media. I laugh because I think a lot of it is true but funny. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but let's get into, the process of what made you say, hey, I think high school's not for me. I'm going to go for GED.
Well, actually, a lot of people think that was my process.
Okay.
Like my mental process. Mm-hmm. High school's not for me. Let me go get a GED. And that's actually not the case.
Okay.
So I went to Wilson. I think, didn't you go to Wilson too?
I went to Edison.
Oh, you went to Edison. Mm-hmm. Okay. But I went to Wilson. And, in order to graduate, they have certain standards that you have to, go through or whatever.
Okay.
And that was a really funny time in my life. I had a girlfriend at the time. And I kind of felt like I'd rather spend time with my girlfriend than go to
that
class
guy, huh?
Many days. And there were certain requirements that you had to meet in order to graduate.
Okay.
One of those requirements was learning a foreign language. I struggled so much with Spanish, man. I struggled with Spanish. And the Spanish teacher that I had, she was unrelenting, man. She didn't care. You struggle, but you better learn it. And I just couldn't.
She made it like it was your major.
For real. Exactly. And so I just couldn't get it. Mm-hmm. And at that point, it got to a point where I was literally going to have to come back to school over and over for foreign language. And there was one day I was sitting in class. I was supposed to graduate in May of 2003. But I had to come back. And so I'm there in class in September of 2004. And I just remember I was in a class with my younger brother. We in the same class together. And we was like throwing papers back and forth at each other or something. Mm-hmm. And I forget the teacher's name. I think it was like Mr. Reddington or something like that. And he was just like, Mr. Salmon and Mr. Salmon, knock it off. And right there, it clicked to me. Like he said both of our names. Like I'm in class with my little brother. Mm-hmm. Like I'm supposed to be the big brother. I'm not even supposed to be here. I was supposed to graduate. I'm supposed to be in college. I'm here. Mm-hmm. I am sitting in a high school class with my younger brother. So I said, I'm getting out of here. I literally packed up my book bag and I got up and I walked out of class. And I walked down to the vice principal at the time, Bless Thomas. He and I had a conversation and I told him, all due respect, I'm out.
They probably thought you were crazy. What?
No, for real. Yeah. Yeah. He did, I think, what any school administrator should have done in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
He tried to explain to me the risks of what I was doing, the decision I was making. He tried to, you know, tell me kind of statistically what would be the outcome if I did decide to drop out and all of that. But I was unwavering, you know, I was undeterred. It didn't matter.
So from that point, did you like sign up for the GED?
The same day I had a car and everything. So the same day I get my papers to leave high school. I think Marilyn Grant was the principal at the time.
Good friend of mine.
And so, you know, I get my papers, I leave, and I go over to Hart Street. Same day, like, you know, 20 minutes away, I'm over at Hart Street. So I show up there, and they're like, yeah, like, you know, how can we help you or whatever? I'm like, yeah, I'm here to take the GED.
Just off the street.
Just straight off the street. I'm here to take the GED, like, right now. Like, we're the test. I want to do it. And they're like, yeah, no, it doesn't work like that. Like, you know, you got to sign up. So sign here. And, you know, the next test will be administered. It was, like, a few months later or so, like October, November, or something like that, another month or two. So they gave me a little packet and said, study this packet. These are kind of like the questions you'll get on it. And, you know, so I had to wait like a month or so. So, I mean, I didn't study or anything.
Now,
what'd
your parents think?
I ain't tell them. For the next month or so, I got up every day and pretended to go to school. But then I just went to my girlfriend's house. Wow. For like the next month or so, you know? I got up every day pretending like I was going
to school. Now, you're a parent now?
Yeah, I'm a parent now.
What would you do to your kid if
Yo, you know what's crazy? It's like, I have two sons in particular. Uh-huh. And, I mean, I have three kids, but I have two of my sons in particular. Mm-hmm. They kind of test me like that every once in a while, right? They always ask me, Dad, you know, you dropped out. Like, what were you thinking? Like, you know, what if I dropped out? I'm like, nah, you ain't going to drop out.
The test is a lot harder now, too. The requirements have changed.
You're going to have to graduate. So, yeah, definitely.
But that's funny. So you hid it from your parents.
Yeah.
And then, so you take the test. You passed on the first?
Yeah. So, I got to a point where, you know, it's time to take the exam. I go there, you know, just kind of cold, take the exam. And I found out, like, I think like the next month or so, I found out, like, so that was like November or so when I found out that I passed. Mm-hmm. At that point, that's when I told my dad.
And what was his response?
He was just kind of like, it's okay. Just get two jobs. Everything will work out in life. You'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just work two jobs. You'll be good.
So from there, you got the bug to go to college.
Yeah. So
what happened there?
It was kind of like a storm had all kind of occurred all at the same time. So January 2004 hits. January 2005. I can't remember the exact dates, but it was January. I remember that. And my daughter was born, and 2 days prior to that, I started going to MCC. So I'm like a new parent and going to school at the same time. Well, you know, mixing a little baby mama drama at the same time. So
it happens.
Yeah. It was. That's kind of what happened. So we went straight from like November finding out to January. I'm like enrolled in school and starting classes.
So you get your associates at MCC?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So from there, what happened after that?
Well, so while I was at MCC, I went through a lot of stuff. Like I said,
life was lifing.
Yeah. Oh, for real. Yeah. You know, with the baby mama drama and you know, working odds and ends jobs, you know, going to work at McDonald's and then working at a call center.
So at that point, did you know that you wanted to be an attorney?
Nah.
No.
No clue.
Okay.
No clue. There was a time when, you know, like, you know, when you're about to graduate, they like have you do internships and externships and all that. Yeah. I came to you, you know. But I also went to a gentleman, Todd Ballard.
Mm-hmm.
And I interned in his office. And I started out just kind of like doing stuff with his campaign. I think he was a county legislator at the time.
Yeah, he's county ledge.
I was doing stuff like that, and you know, that kind of morphed and evolved into, hey man, you here, so you know, won't you write this letter? And, you know, since you're writing this letter, won't you do this legal research? And you know, so that's kind of, it just kind of evolved into legal secretary and then paralegal. He decided to I believe shut down his law firm and go over to Harris Beach as a partner. So he brought me over with him as his paralegal, and so I was his paralegal there from
now. You know, did your pay go up when you moved with him?
Yeah, a little bit.
I'm saying went to a bigger office. I would hope that it went up.
It went up a little bit. You know, but to him, and you know, and as I reflect on the situation, it was, you know, it was more about just getting the experience,
right?
Yeah,
being known.
Yeah,
yeah.
And it was at that time that I realized, like, yo, I think I want to be a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I see Todd, you know, and we about the same height. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? You know, and so I'm just like, you know what? Like, if he could do it, I think I could do it.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, that's what inspired me to be a lawyer.
Yeah. Short up, short, I could do it.
Yeah.
That's all right, though. You found something that worked for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so then at that point, did you take the LSAT?
No. So then I end up transferring to St. John Fisher.
Okay.
And so I went there. An easier time, I would say. I mean, I was working a lot because I had kids, and then I ended up having two more kids after that. So a total of three kids. So I was working a lot. I was working a lot of jobs and going to school at the same time. I was working for Todd. I was working, you know, security. I was doing all kind of stuff and going to school at the same time. So that's really what's going on then. And I didn't realize, like, when you go to law school, you got to take an LSAT.
Mm-hmm.
I had no clue, right? So I get to like graduation year from Fisher, and I'm like, yeah, I want to be a lawyer. So I'm like getting ready to apply to law schools and all that, and they like asking for an LSAT score, and I'm like, LSAT, like what is that? So there was a company called Kaplan. I reached out to them. They kind of explained to me what it was. So I went and did what they call a diagnostic. I tell this story all the time, so I got to tell you the story because it's crazy. So I went and did a diagnostic. The diagnostic is basically like you take the test under real test-like conditions,
mm-hmm.
and then they kind of tell you based on how you scored on that, if you were to go take the real test, this is kind of where you would score at, right? And that also helps them help you if you need to improve your score.
You did that through Kaplan?
Yeah, I did it through Kaplan.
Okay.
So the lowest score you could get on the LSAT is a 120. The highest you could get is a 180.
Mm-hmm.
You take it under real test conditions. So it was like 25 minutes a section is four sections, 15-minute break in between, you know. And so I'm going through on my Scantron bubble sheet, and I'm just going in, you know, just reading the question, doing everything, right? And so it's like 2 hours. They put the Scantron into the machine, they spit it back out, and I scored a 123.
Oh, wow.
So, like, for, like, 2 hours, I'm sitting there, and I got, like, literally, like, two questions right. You know what I mean? So, I'm like, man, I got a lot of work to do.
LSAT questions, though.
Yeah.
Because they require you to think in a way that's not normal to your pattern of thinking.
Right. Yes. No, that's true. And so the people who usually do well on that stuff is people who majored in like philosophy in school. I didn't major in philosophy. I majored in corporate finance, you know? So like I'm looking at this stuff like I have no idea what they're talking about. So now the LSAT was a challenge for me.
Mm-hmm.
I took the LSAT. The first time I took it, I got a 140.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't high enough to get me into law school.
You like so a 150, right?
Nah. I got a 142, but I'm going to get to that in 1 second. I got a 140. I didn't get into the law school of my choosing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to kind of basically like sit out.
Mm-hmm.
So I just worked, and I just continued to study for the LSAT so I could take it again. I took it again the second time. I only raised my score by 2 points. I got a 142. But the school I ended up going to, they had something called a special summer program. You could go, and you got to basically prove yourself. So they like, yo, you got to come here. You're going to take two classes, normal law school classes. We're going to see how well you do. And if you do well in these, we'll admit you into our school. Ironically, Judge Greg Mathis went to the same law school as me, went through the same program.
Okay.
You know? So I did that. So I had to move from Rochester. I had to move to Detroit where my law school was. And I mean, that was crazy. So I get there for the summer, and it's like the summer of like 2009, I believe. And I'm there. I don't know anybody there, but I'm just, you know, taking the classes. And I think it was about 25 of us in the class. I ended up ranked number two. So I got into law school.
That's good.
Yeah.
So you finished law school in Detroit.
Yeah. Yeah. So I go through law school all through Detroit. That was a struggle financially.
I bet.
Yeah, you know.
You've been working all these odd jobs here, right?
Well, in law school, in law school, they don't let you work.
Right.
They recommend that you don't work, you know. So I'm trying to, like, live off student loans, but I'm, like, you know, not from there. So, you know, I don't have, like, parents to live with. I have to, you know, pay for my own place and all of that. So, I mean, it was very, very expensive to live there. I mean, I remember being in class so broke one time. Like, I did, I was like, I Googled, you know, a $10 grocery list. You know, what can I get at the grocery store for $10?
Spaghetti, jar of sauce,
yeah, for
pack
real.
Of hot dogs and some buns.
That's it, man. You know, it's like a bag of rice. Yeah, you know, it was bad, man. So I did that and I got through it. And I ended up graduating. And I ended up staying in Detroit for about another year or so. I was working at a bus company. So I decided to stay in Detroit for like another year or so after I graduated.
Were you working in a legal profession when you stayed?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I was working for a bus company as what they call like a junior counsel. So it's kind of like, you know, entry level lawyer level. So I was working there. It was like kind of a bus company. It was smaller than like RTS, you know. It was like imagine if like RTS only had suburban routes.
Okay.
You know, it was kind of like a bus company like that.
So, okay.
Yeah.
So then you stay there a year.
Yeah.
You come back to Rochester.
Yeah. So I eventually come back to Rochester. And the thing that people don't realize too is like every single state has its own bar exam.
Right.
So you, if you move to another state you haven't practiced for you know, a long time, you're going to have to take that state's bar exam. So now I come to New York and I got to take the New York state bar exam, you know. So I started studying, and then here we go again with all these odd jobs. You know, I'm working overnight at this place and working at that place. And I remember working at the guest store in Eastview Mall.
Okay.
Right? And I was there only one day. My homeboy got me in and everything. I worked there one day for Black Friday. And it was this lady. She came up to me. She was like, "I heard that you are a lawyer." And I'm like, "Well, you know, I went to law school, you know." She's like, "Oh, really? Like, what kind of degree is that?" You know, and I'm all proud. I'm like, "Yeah, you know, I got a Juris Doctor." You know, and she was just like, "Oh, a doctor degree." I'm like, "Yeah." She was like, "Well, why are you working here with us?"
Isn't it wonderful when people don't understand the struggle?
For real, man. But it was enough to make me say, "You know what? I ain't going back." You know,
you didn't get comfortable.
Yeah, it was real uncomfortable, man. Yeah. But it also was motivation for me to say, "You know what? Like, yo, I gotta pass this bar exam because you know I need to be living what I went to school to do, not just, you know, the fact that I got the degree." So I took the bar exam the first time and I failed it. I didn't fail it by a lot, but the reality is I failed. And I had so much kind of waiting in the balance for it. Former Senator Robach had written a letter of recommendation for me to the public defender's office. And at the time, the public defender, he looked at the letter and was, you know, "You want the job, it's yours." So I had to call him up and tell him that I didn't pass the bar. And he told me, though, he said, "You know what? Take it again. We'll still hold it. You want the job, it's still yours." You know, and that gave me that, you know, put a little wind in my sails. You know, that did give me some hope and uplifted me. So I took it a second time. I did pass, and I was able to, you know, give him a call and tell him, hey, look, I passed. And say, yo, let us bring you in here for an interview.
Now, would you say seeing it the second time helped? Because sometimes you have to sit through it's almost like a practice run, right? To know what to expect, the conditions and all of that, to see how the questions are flowing. Did that help?
Because you took it the first time? Yeah, I definitely would say that. Yeah. That's actually a good way to put it. Mm-hmm. Because it was like, after you were able to see kind of what it was, you can anticipate what it'll be next time.
Right.
And so, I was able to do that. And actually, taking it the second time, I did, like, exponentially. It wasn't like a 2-point difference like the LSAT. I mean, it was...
You ran through the finish line.
Yeah, for real. It was a huge difference the second time around. And, you know, I mean, I had scored high enough to get into other states if I wanted to. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Oh, that's what's up, man.
Yeah.
So I wanted to share that story because the work that I'm doing with young people now, I'm dealing with juvenile delinquents who have committed crimes that think their life is over, but it really isn't.
Right.
So they're either in school or trying to get their GEDs. And I'm like, your life is just starting.
Right.
And there are so many people out here who have started from a similar place. You weren't like a juvenile delinquent, but you started with your GED.
Right.
And even without a plan, you kind of, in a way, you had a plan because you kept moving.
Right.
And sometimes just getting up every day and working is the plan.
Mm-hmm.
And then things kind of fall in place. So I wanted to make sure that you had an opportunity to share, you know, that story, because I think it's huge for people to hear out here, because, you know, life can life sometimes. Yeah. But I think what makes us strong is going through those hard times and surviving them, but also sharing them with folks so they know, hey, there is a roadmap.
Right.
To some of these situations.
Right. If you don't mind sharing, I wrote a book from GED to law degree.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of talk about those lessons in the book. Mm-hmm. As I'm going through them, I'm kind of dropping, if you will, breadcrumbs so that people can kind of look at it themselves and say, here's a roadmap for getting from one place to another. I didn't necessarily have that roadmap. And like you said, I just kind of continued motion, just kept getting up and just kept going and figuring it out along the way. You know,
and when you hit those what I would call those obstacles or road bumps, you didn't get deterred. You kept going. So
right.
You could have stopped
right.
when the LSAT didn't look so good, the practice right. test, or where you failed the first bar exam.
Yeah.
But you did.
I had plenty of opportunities to give up. I had plenty of opportunities.
And I'm sure some people
the baby mama drama alone is an opportunity to give up.
I'm sure there are probably people in your camp that probably was like, why is he doing this? You know, because, you know, we deal with that in our families or friends sometimes who don't understand the plan or the vision because the vision wasn't given to them.
Right. And, you know, it's important to understand that, like, if you have the plan, keep working it. Mm-hmm. Like, God put that vision in you. If he would have put it in somebody else, they would understand, but they wouldn't understand because the vision is in you. So you got to definitely keep going and understand the vision is in you.
Now, your book, where is it available at?
Oh, it's available on Amazon and Barnes and Noble.
Okay.
Yeah. So you can just go on Amazon.
Let's plug it again so people can hear it a second time. The name of that was GED to Law School?
From GED to Law Degree.
To Law Degree.
Okay. Yeah. So, right. Yeah.
So go get that book. Also, I know you have some other businesses. You help people with real estate. So if
right.
you plug that would be a great opportunity to do that too.
If you need help and you're in the, you know, upstate New York area, you can contact me at 585-360-0940. And my name is Attorney Greg Salmon, and I'll be more than happy to help you. And that can be for residential or commercial.
Now, what type of law do you practice?
Yeah, so mostly residential and commercial real estate, as well as corporate transactions, corporate work. So as you were stating, you know, helping people form their business entities, helping people sell their businesses, helping people buy and acquire businesses, things of that nature.
Okay. Well, again, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
On the Bounce Back, this was really good for the audience to hear because I think you definitely have a very good story to share. I learned more about you today, and hopefully people can pick up that book, or if they have some real estate needs or business needs, that they'll reach out and contact you.
Absolutely. I welcome that. And I thank you for having me on your show today.